It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive, online at CBTN.com. Hit it, Bear.
Thank you, Russell. Number one, it's a story everybody's been talking about since the end of our show yesterday. Kevon Bennett has been dismissed from the Tennessee football program after an arrest on drug and weapons charges yesterday near campus. Bennett, a junior from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, led the Volunteers with 7.5 tackles for loss and was tied for the team lead with 4.5 sacks. He's facing felony charges of possession of a firearm during commission or attempt to commit a felony, and possession of Schedule 6 drugs with intent, in addition to misdemeanor charges of possession of drug paraphernalia and unlawful possession of a weapon.
You know, it's funny. It's not funny, but it's. I was perusing some of the message boards last night just to see what fans were saying. I wasn't on Vol Nugs. No word from Geraldo how he feels about all this. But I did see some people say, like, man, if this were Bama, we won't kick him off the team. He ought to be back. Like, dude, he's got a felony charge pending against him. You can't.
They aren't lying, though.
You can't take him and. Bama doesn't have guys on the team, though, that have been charged with felonies.
Cam Robinson.
Yeah, but he had the charges dropped.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I don't remember all the circumstances of that case.
He got caught with a stolen gun in a car out at 3 in the morning, and they were doing the Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know, hot box routine.
But what was it, his car, or is like somebody else?
It was underneath his seat. I'll tell you what cops will tell you. If the gun's underneath your seat and you're the driver, it's your gun.
I don't think Jeremy Pruitt had any choice in the matter. I think it was a situation where, regardless of who, and keep in mind, Kevon Bennett might not be a household name in college football circles, but he is one of the best players on our crappy team. So it's not, I'm sure it hurt Jeremy Pruitt to kick him off the team because he would have liked to have him, and he'd probably like to have him next year if he could talk him to coming back in. But
well, I mean,
you don't have a choice. When you got felony gun charges pending against you, the weed he might have been able to get away with, but a gun, and he had apparently some sketchy story about whose it was, where it came from, all this, that, and the other.
Right.
You don't have any choice in the matter. He's got to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's also time and place. I mean, you get popped and right before noon, you know.
I don't think there's any time or place that he was going to be able to.
Well, I mean, Cam Robinson, those guys got caught in the middle of the summer at 3 in the morning out in the boonies where they were from in Louisiana, rather than, you know, daggum near, you know, on Neyland Drive at 11:30 in the morning on your way to the complex. That's all I'm saying. Anyhow,
okay, go ahead.
We'll get back into that, I'm sure, today. Number two, UAB, the Blazers, have had this Saturday's game. I'm not even sure who they were playing this week. It's their fourth game in a row canceled. They have not played since October 31st.
I'm sorry, which game is this?
UAB.
They haven't played since when?
October 31st. They haven't played in a month. It's four straight games scheduled for them.
It's been a minute. For the Blazers. That guy is the athletics director at UAB is a guy named Mark Ingram, who's a former Tennessee football player. He'd hire Hugh Freeze. Is it sad that that's – you can tell me any story and I just bring it –
Mark Ingram?
Yeah.
Is the AD down there?
Yeah. I just bring it – you can tell me any story and I will tie it back to Hugh Freeze. Go ahead. What's your next story? I will tie it back to Hugh Freeze because that's all my mind cares about right now.
Let's see. What can I do here? Well, it won't pull up. So let's see. You tie it into this one. Number three, the four Denver Bronco QBs have been fined by the team for not wearing their masks. that was announced by Denver Broncos coach Vic Fangio on Wednesday. They didn't wear the mask in a meeting last week. Led to a situation that led to three of them being unavailable for Sunday's loss to the Saints. Jeff Driskel tested positive for the virus, and fellow QBs Drew Lock, Brett Rippon, and Blake Bortles were deemed high-risk close contacts in sideline.
Oh, yeah. Denver Broncos, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks. You know, they just haven't been the same since they had Chad Kelly a couple of years ago over there at Denver. After and once he got out of the tutelage of Hugh Freeze, once he lost that direction in his life, it all fell apart. All fell apart for him, Bear.
Hmm. All right, you want to try it again?
Sure, go.
Number four. Michigan Wolverines have canceled football. Their football game this weekend.
This is an easy one. Man. You just throw me a softball right down the middle.
Activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Decision to cancel the game as well as pause practices was made in consultation with medical professionals who will ultimately determine when practices will resume.
Well, it's pretty clear what's going on here, right? They're trying to get out of – they're hoping that Ohio State can't get going again and that they can, A, avoid the beatdown, but also, B, get the added benefit of ruining Ohio State's chance to get eligible for their conference championship game and the college football playoff. But Michigan also has to worry about their head coach, Jim Harbaugh, who's fallen on his face this year. The fans want him gone. They want to replace him. And I would be very worried. I am very worried that they might come after, one, Danny Hugh Freeze the third.
He ain't going up there to Michigan.
It's our coach.
He ain't going up there.
It's our coach. Hands off, Michigan.
That's
Danny Hugh Freeze Jr. I'm sorry. He's not the third. He's only the second. Danny Hugh Freeze Jr.
He got born in Oxford, Mississippi. Lived most of his life either in Mississippi or in Tennessee, is going to go up there to that frozen hellhole and coach Michigan.
Throw him enough money,
I don't think so. Yeah, they might.
Throw him enough money, you would. Hands off, Michigan. We saw him first. Thank you, Bear. That is the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Save big. Where the rubber meets the road with roadside assistance, a benefit of having a checking account at Citizens National Bank. Roadside assistance with your banking account, it's unbelievable. Visit CFBTN.com for more information. That's CFBTN.com or just call 865-453-9031 for Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. All right, do we have Trey Wallace with us this afternoon? Trey, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, how are y'all?
Doing well, doing well. Hope you are, too. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to any of the show today. Yeah, what do you think?
I was listening on the way home from the dock. I was listening.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't appreciate Bear. My choir teacher thought I sounded like an angel, for God's sake. It was beautiful.
That's what I told Russ. There's some church lady who had to be nice.
It was beautiful. I had a gorgeous voice.
It was so gorgeous. People. She sent him outside to work on his solos every day. Yeah,
yes,
shut the door, Trey. Shut the door. You're distracting people.
No, I thought the baseball stadium was pretty interesting. I got to hear the tail end of that driving home, and man, it really I kind of like Bear said. I didn't realize that the lease was kind of coming up so quick because I mean it'd probably take I'd imagine 2 years to build that whole thing.
Bear thinks they could build it in like 2.5 weeks. he thinks Bob Vila will just come out there
and
fart and a baseball stadium will appear.
I said it wouldn't take 2 years. I think they could do it in a year.
I don't know.
How long did it take him to build the Death Star out there in Vegas, whatever they call that place?
Like 5 years.
It didn't take him 5 years to build that damn
thing. What do they call that thing?
Allegiant Stadium?
Allegiant Stadium.
It take them 5 months just to clear out the area. I want to say it was
like 3.5 years. Let's see.
I'm telling you, man, it goes quicker than you think it does.
That's what she said.
Wow. They broke ground on it 3 years ago, so a little over two years.
for that facility. You compare that with the minor.
This is a really weird. Bear will his appetite to argue. I mean, this is fascinating that you're really wanting to go to the mat on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. I hope you're right. I hope they build it in a year. But
it's just sometimes you'll get on your you'll get it in your head and you'll just. It's very rare that it happens.
I have nothing in my head. I don't know how.
That's what I'm
long
saying.
This
you're
will
just
take.
Talking out of your rear end right now about this.
Did they happen to say that Tyler? What's going to happen to say if anything had to do with maybe Tennessee baseball playing some games there?
We didn't get into that, but I mean that's been talked about.
Nashville does that with their stadium. The Nashville Sounds. They have that nice new ballpark, and they actually. You know, they'll do Vanderbilt versus Belmont games or Belmont versus Lipscomb and hold some tournaments there and stuff. So that'd be pretty cool, actually.
Let's get the phones up and rolling here this afternoon. Who's up next, Adam? Anthony. Good afternoon, Anthony. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good, good. I can't remember. Was it Bear or Trey who always talks about the Shire that's coming up that they're building, that little village?
No, that's Rustin. That's a long-time drive deal. Wow, you want to go to the Shire?
Well, I was just going to say, we're actually building it, and just the good news is we sent our first truckload of metal studs and drywall up there, so... You're wanting to go? Construction has officially started.
On the Shire?
Agent Lore Village, I think, is the name of it.
Hit the music, Russ.
Oh, you don't say! Oh no, the music stopped. A stupid YouTube ad. Hold on. I don't care about. Actually, it's a St. Jude's commercial. I should probably actually let it play. Very important. Donate to St. Jude's. It's a great, they do great work over there. Very important people. In the meantime, Anthony says they're starting the Shire. They are. That's fantastic news.
It'll only take a year to build the stadium, sire.
the next thing I just wanted to throw this out there. They
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead, sir.
Now I'm thinking about the Lord of the Rings. It's been nice the last day or two to listen to all the chaos over at Vandy because it doesn't really come out of there as much as it does here. So it's been a nice break. But I guess my question is, did you guys hear them ask Kirby Smart what he's going to instruct his players to do if she comes into harm's way?
No.
Did you guys hear that question?
No. What'd he say?
Yeah. He gave a pretty just like stock answer where – you know, we don't really think about the kicker on returns. If we've made it to the kicker, we're in a pretty good spot, so we don't think about that. And then said how tough she was, which, I mean,
knock her ass in the dirt. You want equality? If this would, it's equality. It's a great, but there's no difference between women. Okay, well, strap it on. Toots, let's go.
I guess my thing is, though, I don't think any coach or SID or AD is going to want that PR just to layer out. And I just don't think they're going to go all the way. So why not have somebody else catch the kick and hand it to her? Because that would be the highlight of the century of them trying to gingerly bring her down while being pulled back. Give her the ball.
If you want equality,
right? I mean, no.
Let her carry the ball.
You're going to have a whole load of football where Most of those guys, especially these guys, they're insane. Let's be honest. You imagine, you know, some maniac like Morvin Joseph out there, you know, just looking to. I mean, those guys are usually just looking to kill somebody on special teams, blow somebody up.
I don't know. I feel like that's one of those things your name can't come back from. You know, if they're just going to continuously show that highlight, for
you'll
years,
be the guy like, who decleated
the game.
You'll always be the guy who decleated the chick.
Yeah, always. I mean, if you have 10 blockers,
you stand over her.
Full speed, speed.
Stand over Leonard Little, that picture of the over the Auburn player.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they want that.
They want that.
Your integrity comes into question probably, but I'm just saying it would be the highlight of the year to watch people try to bring her down gingerly.
Anthony, it's interesting food for thought. Anything else, my friend?
I'm good, man. You guys have a great one.
Thanks, you too. Anthony, dropping a lot of knowledge. The Shire is being built in Sono.
I hope he doesn't get in trouble with his boss.
If Randy Boyd is currently trying to raise over $100 million or whatever it is to build this thing, we can't find time to carve out $12 million to buy out Jeremy Pruitt.
Just tell him it's going for like a nice concession stand area, but it's actually going to Pruitt's buyout.
There you have it. Can we just get some sort of delayed, take out a loan or something and have the fans pay it back? Every time you go into the new Smoky Stadium, you have to put a five spot in the Jeremy Pruitt buyout bucket. I will gladly pay my share.
Is Bear going to be outside the stadium ringing a bell in some kind of suit asking for money?
Yeah, it's like the Salvation Army. Ding, a ding, a ding. Buy out Pruitt. Buy him out. Dump the gump.
I see you walking by, boy. You better put some money in.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. It's Fan Run Radio. All right, Commander Chuck, time for your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Well, Tennessee, getting ready for Florida. Getting a game plan in. Getting ready for the Gators Saturday afternoon. 3:30 CBS kickoff, 17.5 points now, according to FanDuel. Trey, how did the news of Kevon Bennett, I mean, that had to have sent shockwaves through the program. How did that impact what Tennessee was able to do practice-wise yesterday? Because remember, that happened the middle of the day, the morning, actually, right before Tennessee was able to practice.
Well, they were actually what happened, he got stopped at like 11:20, and he was technically on the way to the facility because they had a walkthrough at 12. And then Kevon was supposed to speak to the media at 1.
Oh, no.
And they changed it on the fly around like 12:30. And I guess they had gotten word, but it was pretty shocking. But Tyler Barron and Morvin Joseph actually got some work, along with Roman Harrison. So I would expect to see those three trying to fill in for Kevon Bennett, who had 4 sacks over the last 2 games, by the way. So it was pretty shocking yesterday.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
All right, Trey, I will give you the obligatory who gonna be a quarterback question.
I'm gonna go with number 15, Harrison Bailey. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I was told that Warren Burrell, Pat Garland, T. Hodge, and Elijah Simmons had a good day. Elijah Simmons actually had 2 interceptions yesterday. Yes, that Elijah Simmons.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The nose guard?
Yes.
No, the other one, Bear. Yes, the nose guard. Tugboat.
Shut up, Russ.
Big boy.
I'm just asking. I have one more question. Are we ever going to see T. Hodge?
About poor T. Hodge, man. Wow.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. We got 3 games left in the season. If you haven't seen him now, what's the point of using him and getting him hurt?
Trey. We have 4 games left in the season. Jeremy Pruitt today said that they absolutely would accept a bowl bid, even with a losing record, because, quote, those practices are really critical for a young football team.
He's only going to get like 5 practices, maybe. I mean, what's the point?
Hey, we know one thing about Jeremy Pruitt. He loves practice. He loves practice. He's addicted to practice, man. He would rather have practice than the games.
They don't get any better from practice. He loves it so damn much.
That's true, but The point is, if Jeremy Pruitt can practice, Jeremy Pruitt going to practice.
Yeah, I mean, they're practicing today. Yesterday it was Harrison Bailey taking the ones, JT Schrout getting a couple reps of the ones, but mainly with the twos, and then Brian Maurer was running scout and other nonsense.
Where's Hotel Garantano?
Well, excuse me. He is not out there.
Take a moment, Trey. Take a moment. Gather yourself. Compose yourself. Clear your throat. Have a sip of water. We'll give you this time.
Yeah, I got caught. I got a fur ball.
Just take your time. Take your time. So JG's running scout team now, a fourth string?
JG's not out there.
He's not out there. Where's JG?
Dealing with a couple things.
Why is everybody so cagey about this? Why are we afraid to talk about what's going on with Garantano right now?
He's in contact tracing.
No, he's not. He quit the damn team, Trey. Why can't anybody say that? They took his job away, and he's pretending to be in contact tracing so to save himself the embarrassment. Why can't anybody say that?
Well, because there's an opportunity to just bite Jeremy Pruitt in the rear end on Friday. Because all these other players are going to come out of quarantine on Friday. So how do you navigate around the fact that Jared Garantano would come out of quarantine? You would either have to say he's a part of the team, we've moved on from Garantano, or he's been in contact tracing and we're going to try to work him back into the lineup.
First time Bailey screws up on Saturday, Garantano's in the game. Guaranteed. Look at Dano.
As somebody told me last night, Jeremy Pruitt should come out today in his press conference at 6:20 or on ball calls, whichever one, and say Harrison Bailey is the starting quarterback on Saturday. Get it over with. You're not hiding it from anybody. Everybody knows Bailey's taking the one.
We've packed our bags. We've turned in our keys. All right. We're on the shuttle. We're going to the airport. And we're leaving the Hotel Garantano forever.
Until the plane has mechanical problems and you can't take off.
Well, there's your Rocky Top Report. Brought to you by the... You're welcome. Brought to you by the Kregner Group. We're not going to BS this audience. Everybody else wants to play Jeremy Pruitt games. You go ahead and play Jeremy Pruitt games. We deal in reality.
That's true.
Here on The Drive. Granted, it is a weird, sometimes farcical version of reality, but it is reality.
Dark, dark black comedy.
And I found out how these players are going to be allowed to, that most of them will be allowed to come out of tracing on Friday.
We're going to have several guys walk out there and play without having practiced for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Against Florida. what is that a recipe for, Bear?
Complete disaster. I'm thinking about going, you know how you see those people, guys, that'll completely liquidate everything they own and go to Vegas and put it on like red or black on the roulette wheel? I'm thinking about doing that.
Yeah, you should do that.
Putting it all on Florida.
Folks, you should put it all on Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They're money in the bank when it comes to the real estate game. If you've got any questions about what goes into home buying, what goes into home selling, Bo would love to answer those questions for free. That's right, a free consultation anytime. Call 865-742-1035 or visit BoKnowsHouses.com. Again, 742-1035. Online at BoKnowsHouses.com. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell an old house and move into the home of your dreams, Bo's there to help. Again, his phone number, 865-742-1035, and his website is BoKnowsHouses.com. FanRunRadio.com. We'll take a quick break. Josh Pate, 247sports.com, coming up next on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Barry Trey back with you. Pleased to be joined now by Josh Pate of 247sports.com at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
Good, man. It is a lovely, lovely day just outside of Nashville.
Outstanding. A lot of news in Nashville this week. Hit on some of that. But first, I want to ask you, if Tennessee fans are crazy, and I would not argue that we are not, for wanting to fire Jeremy Pruitt after three seasons and the COVID year, what are Texas fans for wanting to move on from Tom Herman, given his relative to other schools, Tennessee for one, his track record of success there?
So this is you hit right on like the best comparative analysis when it comes to my opinion, because like I've shared with you guys, it is my opinion that Tennessee does not need to move on from Pruitt yet, but it is also my opinion that Texas does need to move on from Tom Herman. So my whole philosophy with this the whole time has been, if I didn't believe it before 2020, I'm not going to allow 2020 to shift my opinion. I don't know if that's what other folks believe. That's just where I stand on this in principle. So I didn't believe that about Pruitt yet, but yet I already believed it about Tom Herman. Like a lot of the critical factors that you need to see in games and whatnot, they've been bleeding in-state recruiting, which is obviously a much bigger deal in Texas. Bleeding in-state recruiting in Texas is a much bigger deal than pretty much anywhere else in America, to be honest with you. And so I already believed it about Herman. Now, it may go on to end up that Pruitt is in the same boat as Herman and it just took another year to see it. That's possible. I'm not an idiot, but that's where I stand personally. Because, I mean, you may look at it and you may say, well, Pruitt hadn't done any better than Herman has. You could argue he's done a worse job than Herman has. That's true. I had a little bit better feel, I thought, on Herman at the beginning of this year than Pruitt, though. And so with 2020 as it is, that's where I stand.
Is Urban Meyer a realistic thing for Texas?
Yes, he is. Here's kind of my feel, and my feel is it's not a personal connection. It's just talking to people who are really close to that program and who have direct knowledge of what those talks have been like. It's got to be a tightrope walk if you're a Texas decision maker, shall we say. Because on one hand, you have what is universally or who is universally believed to be one of the best coaches in the history of this game. He's turned around multiple programs, won championships in multiple programs, and you have confidence, all the confidence in the world, that he could do it at your program. But what happens if that coach's reservation is health-related and is whether his heart's going to be fully in it, whether he's going to be fully capable to have his heart fully in it? You know, you could continue to push. And you could continue to push and push and push until hopefully you get a yes out of him. But what kind of coach are you getting a yes out of? Is he the fully engaged Urban Meyer that you've seen beforehand, which is the reason you'd want to hire him? Or is it a shell of the former coach? And that would worry me, and it has them worried a little bit. But yet I also still think Texas has sold enough on the value proposition of taking that risk that they're full steam ahead. And I really believe in the next 2 weeks, maybe week and a half, 2 weeks, they'll have something definitive from him. It may come before then, but that's where things stand right now. They do not know. Like as of this morning, I got told it was kind of, you know, a 50-50, 60-40 type deal either way. So pretty interesting times there, because if it's not Urban Meyer, and this goes kind of back to the question that surrounds any coaching search, if it's not Urban Meyer, do they have another candidate in mind that it's worth firing Tom Herman for?
Yeah.
And that's an open-ended question.
No, I mean, it's hard to tell a fan base to go from Urban Meyer, because I'm sure that's what Texas fans are all fixated on right now, and then trot Matt Campbell out there. And I think Matt Campbell's a fantastic up-and-coming coach, but that's got to be – there's a drop-off there, right?
There is in terms of resume. I'm someone who probably thinks about as highly of Matt Campbell as anyone this side of his mother in the United States of America. So, like, I'm really high on him. I'd be thrilled if he were the coach of my program. Having said that, I understand I'm in the minority there, and most people, even though they think highly of him, I mean, you're right. You're talking about going from Urban Meyer to, I mean, that's like going from Six Flags to the local carnival in the minds of a lot of people. And so, yeah, I understand that. But I also think this, you know, the South Carolina coaching search, it probably is the case that every guy who's in the running for that job has been made public. With Texas, though, what I call a keystone program, I am kind of a believer that, much as is the case if Florida comes into play or Southern Cal, you probably have so many guys reaching out through back channels that you would never think could be had. And so I'm going to use an example here. This is not anything I've heard. Let me just use an example. For all we know, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame could like reach out behind the scenes and say, hey, I'm interested in the Texas job. Well, that's not a name that would be on any radar. But yet it's also not a name that if I heard, hey, he's interested in Texas, would shock me. Because Texas is a very desirable job for a lot of high-profile names. And so I would not just assume, oh, just because they can't get Meyer, well, they're going to have to settle for fill in the blank. You just never know how that could unfold.
Josh Pate, 247sports.com, our guest this afternoon. You mentioned the South Carolina job. It seems like Shane Beamer is a name you hear a lot there. I know Billy Napier is from South Carolina. Where would you head if you were South Carolina looking to replace Will Muschamp?
It'd be Napier. If I'm sold on him, and I would be for their job, if I'm sold on him, I'd have to overpay for him. Relative to what you think market value is, you're going to have to overpay for him. And thus far, they have not come to agreement on that. That is why, well, among the other fact that he's still in the middle of a season, that is why there is no agreement in principle. We kind of got word last night. I think it's been reported since then at a few places that they will meet in person this weekend. That being Ray Tanner, the AD there, and Billy Napier. And they got a game, I think, Friday night. So, and he's coming off of COVID, so there's a lot going on in the life of Billy Napier. But listen, he's asking, and I understand why he's asking it like this. He's asking for a whole lot. And it sounds on the surface like he just wants to get paid a lot of money. And he does, don't get me wrong. But what he's really asking for is a big salary pool for assistants and commitment to infrastructure, not facilities. They've upgraded there recently. But what he wants is a great big support staff. Because what he knows is, number one, if I'm taking the South Carolina job, I'm being asked to compete against programs that historically we've been at a disadvantage against. Georgia, Florida, even Tennessee historically. B, the coaches at Georgia and Florida, for example, and even really Tennessee, they don't get told no. Like when they need something in terms of resource, they get it. So if I'm already at a disadvantage, I certainly have to be going above and beyond when it comes to the resources that I'm given. And if they're balking at any of that, I'm not taking this job. I think that may be where they are right now. He could take that job tomorrow. Like as much as Shane Beamer is the leader in the clubhouse right now, Billy Napier could turn that upside down tomorrow with one phone call.
Gosh, that's crazy. Josh, this is Trey. Thanks for joining us, man. And yeah, all we've heard is Beamer, but then, you know, Napier actually is the one that would make sense, to be honest with you. So that, I'm interested to see how these jobs play out in the next couple of days. Hey, I wanted to ask you one question real quick while you're there in the mid-state, then pop on Tennessee for a second. The Derek Mason thing, the last week there, I've been listening to local radio there in town and reading some of the local columnists. How would you kind of sum up the last week when it comes to the way Vanderbilt kind of handled everything, and then also, you know, firing Derek Mason Saturday night when they got back home from Missouri, but then also, you know, you're holding a press conference for the kicker the next day, news is coming out. It just seems like it's all one big cluster, Josh.
Yeah, it's probably an even kinder word than the one I would come up with to describe it, but I mean, it's a, you know, I used the word carnival earlier, so I'll just go with circus. That's basically been what it's about. And listen, I've always been a believer that as long as the investment level is what it is with Vanderbilt football, you can never justify firing a coach there. I don't care if they go winless every year. I mean, you've got, and we've talked about it on your program before, you have got multiple Texas high schools with better facilities than Vanderbilt University trying to compete in the SEC. Imagine being in that state of affairs and then being told, hey, you got Georgia coming into town this week, and then we're going to throw Tennessee at you next week, and you got Florida after the bye week. So have at it, guys. Like, go for it. Give us a good, solid effort. Whoever, I know James Franklin is like the gold standard in what he did there. That is a once-in-a-generation type deal, and there's a reason he got out of there as soon as he could. Well, that was unsustainable. It's always going to be unsustainable there. And then when you talk about all the other stuff, listen, I wouldn't waste 2 seconds talking about that on my show, because I wouldn't have wasted 2 seconds talking about
a kicker on any other team that lost 41-0. So I'm not going to make an exception for that. I mean, to me, that is a quality, by the way. You just treat it like it always would be treated. And so the fact that it got treated and has been blown up the way it has, I knew not to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I know. I get it. Trust me, 100%. And it's just the way things that are done on West End. Let's come back here to Knoxville for a minute. Tennessee's got a game against Florida this weekend. And Florida, 17-point favorite, 18-point favorite, depending on where you're looking at here. When you look at this matchup, it sounds like Harrison Bailey is getting the start. Garantano, though Jeremy Pruitt will not come out and say it, Garantano has been in contact tracing for the last week and a half. Now, he has worked out with his teammates during their contact tracing lift period. But what I'm kind of asking you is, was this the right move? Because I was told last week Jeremy really wanted to get Harrison Bailey that start at Vanderbilt, get a win underneath his belt, and then you could start him again against Florida. Is it too late to kind of salvage anything when it comes to Jeremy Pruitt starting a different quarterback? Should he have done this weeks ago?
I think so. I've long stated my, you know, personal stance on questioning personnel decisions, blah, blah, blah. But I was very hopeful that it would have happened earlier. Now, like you, I believe last week was the week they really wanted. And then, of course, that doesn't happen. But, you know, I was going back and forth with someone today who said, oh, it's foolish to start him against Florida because he'll get rattled. And I'm just, you know, like at some point, you got to understand this isn't Pee Wee football, man. Like, this is the SEC. You are on scholarship in the SEC. If they're putting a helmet on you and they're putting a jersey on you and putting you on the sideline and you are cleared to go physically, you are ready to be put in a game. But you can't handle folks with kid gloves all the time. And so if Harrison Bailey's ready, then he's ready. Secondly, I know Florida's a top five or top 10 team or whatever. Has anyone watched Florida's defense this year and be frightened of that unit? Like, I haven't seen that at all this year. So, I mean, we're treating guys like fine china. They're football players. Like, that's how you find out if a guy can play football. You put him in football games. And you've got to trust your process. And if you don't, then you've got much bigger problems than Harrison Bailey, to be honest with you, couldn't solve anyway. So, yeah, I mean, better late than never, I guess. And the way I would look at this game Saturday, for better or for worse, is it's the beginning of the 2021 season.
Josh, appreciate your time, as always, my friend. Thanks for jumping on. Tell folks where they can go and check out your work.
Live there three nights a week. The podcast, Late Kick Podcast, is out there wherever you listen. And you can follow me on Twitter at Late Kick Josh.
Outstanding. Josh Pate, thanks so much.
Thanks, bud.
Josh joins via the G3 Help Me Hotline. As always, we got to take a quick timeout right here. We'll open up the phones to you. 865-546-82. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Josh Pate, 247sports.com, joining us last segment. Bear, what did you learn?
The Texas is really serious about going after Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Big thing I took from.
I would be
that
too.
In his thoughts on the Kara Fuller, whatever, that kicker from Vanderbilt deal.
Fuller?
I had to step out to blow my nose. What were his thoughts on Fuller?
Just that he wouldn't have talked about it any more than he would talk about any other kicker that was playing on a team that got beat 41-0.
That's a good point. The more you talk, I understand it's a big deal and a big story and everything, but it was a little much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep putting it out there. It's more than a little much. They keep holding these press conferences and stuff. It's, I don't know, man. It is what it is. Vanderbilt sucked all year. I don't even feel like talking about them. They should go to Georgia and probably get their asses handed to them.
No.
And, you know, that should
are
be
we
the
gonna
end
play of them this year, or are they just like, it almost sounds like they're just thinking about shutting down the program.
Somebody texted me yesterday in Nashville that covers teams there, and they said, which team is going to be the one to chicken out first, Vanderbilt or Tennessee?
Well, It'll be Vanderbilt.
Right. I think it was kind of rhetorical. Yeah.
If you're Jeremy Pruitt, do you want to play that game?
Depends on how the next two go.
I think you do because it's your only chance to get a win before next year.
Yeah, but
Here's what I think happens. They're talking about this Vanderbilt game next week and then potentially playing A&M. I think the SEC is going to schedule Tennessee versus A&M at 3 o'clock on December 19th. They are going to be the lead-in to the SEC championship game. So they'll already know if Texas A&M is one out and is going to be looking for a playoff spot, and then they're going to lead right in to the SEC title game at 8, and whoever wins that Alabama-Florida game will also be in the playoffs along with A&M. I think that's how it's going to work.
If you're Jeremy Pruitt and you beat Vanderbilt, how much does that – I mean
– It helps you zero.
What is it? Yeah.
I don't know, but the only thing I'll say to that, Trey, is that the ACC, with their little scheduling maneuver they pulled, they're trying to make it so that Clemson and Notre Dame both get in.
I mean, that would be interesting if it was an all ACC SEC playoff.
To me, with Notre Dame, my thing with them is if they play Clemson tough and lose a close game, they might have a case. But if they get waxed, I mean, obviously if they win, they're in. If they get waxed, if Lawrence comes up there and carves them up like he carved up Pitt or anybody else they've played this year, then it's a pretty shaky case for Notre Dame.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of wondering, we're sitting here on a Wednesday. I'm wondering how long it's going to take for Texas to come up with, you know, with them firing Herman. Because, I mean, Bruce Feldman tweeted, what he tweeted? Something like, we know that Herman's on his way out. Jeff Ketchum has reported a couple of things. Like, it's been 4 days since they played. Like, what are you waiting on? Are they waiting? Okay, here's a better question, Baron Russ. Are they waiting to have a bullet in the chamber that can just fire off with Urban Meyer, get him done, and then announce Herman's out?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because they're in a clown show like we are.
So
it's been 4 days.
If you're Jeremy Pruitt or you're somebody who wants to see Pruitt stay, I don't see the value of playing the Vanderbilt game, because if you lose, that's just more fuel for the fire, and if you win, it really doesn't move the needle any. If you are to the point, if you are with the people who are pulling against the program at this point and you just want to see a coaching change, I think you want to see the Vanderbilt game, because, again, if you win, it doesn't move the needle, doesn't mean he's staying, or, you know, it's not going to change anybody's mind. And if he loses, then, well, that's just – you could point it and say, look – I know it's COVID. And Josh Pate makes – I get what he's saying. I realize this his take is not what a lot of our audience wants to hear. But his thing of, if I didn't think it before this season, I'm not going to think it now because of the way this year has gone, then, you know, I'm not going to let it change my mind. And he was already leaning towards Herman being gone before the season. Nobody was really talking about Jeremy Pruitt being gone before this season, which is really it's true and it's incredible. The lengths this guy has had to go to get to this point and have this conversation, pretty incredible. But sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I agree, Russ. We wouldn't have been nobody was thinking that we'd be talking about this. With 3 games left in the season in the beginning of December, nobody thought we'd be talking about firing Jeremy Pruitt. Everybody, it was 7 wins this year. I mean, I remember picking Tennessee to win 7 games this year.
Yeah.
It went down a hellhole quick.
It escalated quickly.
Yeah. Dang, man. This went horrible.
I don't know. Bear, are we being too hard on the guy? Should we give him a pass? COVID, man. It's 2020.
Hell no. guy's a total and complete clown. He's in over his head. I don't feel sorry for him a bit. He's going to be a multi. His family's set for. He's been given generational wealth by the University of Tennessee. I don't care about his feelings. He's not a good head football coach. He needs to go, and he needs to go now.
I think Bear. I agree with Bear with one thing that Bear said a couple of times. They've wasted the opportunity with this offensive line. Like, let's be real, real honest with each other. The best performance the offensive line had all year was the Auburn game. And they were still flip-flopping a couple of guys in and out. Javonte Spraggins wasn't there. Jerome Carvin was dealing with turf toes still. We talked about before the season, man, this is going to be the best offensive line since the Tiny Richardson, James Stone day. And now all of a sudden we're sitting here at the end of the year wondering if Cade Mays has actually done enough to earn an NFL spot. They wasted that line of scrimmage.
Wasted it.
Yes.
It's so that is so infuriating in and of itself. Not just the record and the losing, but the talent we've had on the offensive line and the way they've flashed and have moved the ball at times, but just because of everything else, all the other dysfunction in the program, the coaching staff, and with the quarterback position, that they can't capitalize on it.
Well, Russ, here's a stat somebody gave to me two nights ago. It blew my mind. Josh Palmer has about 330-some-odd yards this year, but he has the same amount of receiving touchdowns than the leading running back.
So
think about that.
Our most touchdown catches are by Gray?
They're tied.
With how many, like two?
I don't know. I'd have to.
It's not like we've thrown a lot of touchdown passes this year.
No, I'd have to look it up. But what I'm getting at, the running back and the top wide receiver had the same amount of receiving touchdowns this season.
That's strange.
You think?
Oh, man. Folks.
I've got to go.
This final portion of the hour number two brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Get your smile consultation rolling. KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Call 865-539-1776. Tell them I sent you. They'll take great care of you at Knoxville Smiles in South Peters Road in West Knoxville. Dr. Malone, 24 years now in business here in East Tennessee, does a great job, and he'll do a great job for you as well. And Knoxville Smiles, stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.